Outstanding. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We've come to the final message of this glorious book, and it's been a great journey together. Our New Testament book has been the book of 2 Timothy, and it's been a great study. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed studying through it with you. And we come tonight to Paul's final message, part number 3. We're trying to give you and finish up from verses 9 down through verse 22. We've given you the opening two parts of this message. And by God's grace, we'll give you the closing message tonight, part 3 of Paul's final message. I'd like you to send a message to Brother Jack Treiber, if you don't mind. He doesn't know me from Adam, I don't think, but that's okay. I'm wanting to try to get him here for a meeting. And I want you to put a good word in for him, if you wouldn't mind to do that. And I wouldn't mind you girls coming back with him. I'll be honest with you. That's outstanding. And I want you to be ready at the end of this hour. I'm not sure. I may have you come back and sing again. I'm just like that every now and then, so I hope you're okay with it. And I'll tell you, that was anointed singing, folks. I don't know if you feel the same way about it, but that's how I feel about it. And that was outstanding. I felt the sweet Spirit of God on that. Stand still and let God move. What a great song that is, all of them. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin our reading for time's sake in verse number 16. We're preaching from verses 9 down to verse 22, and we've come to verse number 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Again, I give you Paul's last message, part number 3. We'll go back and tap some of this on the head and pick up with major point number 2. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for this great singing group coming to be with us. Thank you for keeping them safe on the highways. I pray you'll keep them safe as they leave. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless the college there, Brother Treiber, and Lord, the other dear man who's now the president of the college. You know who he is. I lift him up to you and ask that you'd wrap your loving arms around them. Use them in a great way and bless that leadership. Bless, Lord, I pray this service. May you meet with us in a great way. May the will of God be done, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this is repeat. Let me go on. Let me open this message by saying it's been a wonderful journey through this blessed book. Paul has been an outstanding servant of the Lord of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken many missionary journeys and led many to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithfully preached the Word of God without fear or favor of man. He's been considered one of, if not the greatest Christian to live. Now, in this book before us, we're reminded that he is currently sitting in a Roman prison cell, the Mamertine prison, awaiting his execution by decapitation. Now, throughout this book, we see his desire for the young preacher by the name of Timothy to take the torch of God's truth and carry it on faithfully until God calls him home. Paul knows he's nearing the end of his life, and throughout this book, we can hear his burdened heart for the things of God. Now, these verses that we have before us are the last words that the Apostle Paul will ever write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. It is with this thought that we are currently considering Paul's final message. Now, in this message, we've noticed several things already. Let me go back and tap it on the head. Number one, we noticed the list of people. And one reason it's taken us so long to get through this message is because there's 14 people that he mentions, and every one of these people in this list we can learn some great lessons from. If you want to get these messages, you can go back and get them. I think it's both Wednesday nights, last Wednesday and the Wednesday before that, and I go in detail on these, but let me just mention them here. The first person is Timothy in verse number 9, and we learn there that we ought to have somebody that we're mentoring in the ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is Demas, and we learn there about a man who started right, but he ended wrong.
The third person is Crescens. He's unknown in Scripture, but yet we believe he's faithfully serving God, which teaches us that there are those behind the scenes who are getting the work of God done. Titus, we know, is a man who is very well known, and yet he's being faithful. So we see that whether you're behind the scenes or on stage, we are all to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke was number 5 in verse number 11, and we learned there that he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't a teacher, he was a doctor who used his gifts and talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 6 was a man by the name of Mark in verse 11. We saw he was a man who started wrong, but he ended right. The next one is Tychicus. He was a messenger boy who sent God's word around to different places, and you and I ought to be doing the same. The next was Carpus in verse number 13. He was a man who opened his home to the Apostle Paul, and we ought to be hospitable to God's family and to God's chosen servants. The next one is Alexander in verses 14 and 15. He was an enemy of the work of God, and there are people today who still oppose God's work. The next one are those who forsook Paul at first in verse number 16. And these are people that we believe could have even been Christians. But yet they turned their back on him when the going got tough. Don't be somebody like that, folks. Be a true friend to people who are standing true to God. Then we go to Priscilla and Aquila in verse number 19. That's a faithful couple. Then the household of Onesiphorus, that's a faithful family. Then Erastus and Trophimus, that's old faithful friends. And we ended with new friends in verse number 21. That is all the list of people in Paul's last message. Now we pick up our message here in verses 16 to 18. Number 2, not only the list of people, but number 2, we notice the Lord's faithfulness. Notice what it says in verse 16 and following. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now in Paul's last message, we see him in these verses bringing out a great truth concerning the Lord and his faithfulness. Paul mentions in verse 16, he said, at my first answer. Now what he's referring to here is he's referring to a previous time when he was standing in defense of himself before the authorities. In other words, he was given the opportunity to speak for himself and what he was being charged with. Now, during these times, it was common back in this day for friends of the accused to be allowed to intercede with pleas of mercy for the one who is standing accused. Now, it's been said that the emperor at this time was probably Nero, who had caused, now get this, folks, he had caused Christians to be wrapped in pitch clothes, chained to a stake, and set on fire to give light at night. He was a wicked emperor. And there's no doubt that whoever was the emperor at this time, there was intimidation to be associated with Paul. It's at this time when all those who could have come forward in Paul's defense, pleading for mercy, that Paul said, all men forsook me. These so-called friends of Paul have deserted him at this time to stand alone at his first answer. However, Paul follows this up in verse number 17 with a wonderful statement. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Paul wanted others to know that even when all men forsook him, the Lord did not. Jesus Christ was there with him all the time. He wanted all to know that when others were running from him, the Lord Jesus Christ was running to him and standing firmly by his side and strengthening him. It's interesting here that the word strengthen means to empower and to enable. He then proceeds that because of this power that the Lord gave him by standing with him, he said all the Gentiles might hear the news. This means that the Lord showed up. when no one else was there for support, and gave him strength to preach the gospel in the face of the lion. However, at this time, he was delivered from the lion. In other words, he was delivered from death at this particular time, and the Gentiles would hear the glorious news of Jesus Christ. Paul then goes on in verse number 18 to mention, I'm feeling pretty good right here, I'll be honest. I asked God to give me strength before church, and he gave me strength. Praise God for it. I'm telling you, in verse number 18, he begins to mention how the Lord not only delivered him in verse 17, but he goes to the future now and says, he shall deliver me in the future from every evil work and preserve him unto the heavenly kingdom. Now, what's he talking about? In verses 16 and 17, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, and I was delivered from the lion. He's saying, I was delivered in the past, and God did it. But now we understand where he is now. He is sitting in a Roman jail cell. He is nearing the end of his life. He has said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows that this time he will not escape the lion. He knows at this time that death is coming to him. But he also wants all to know that the Lord who stood by him in the past and delivered him from death is now going to stand by him in death and deliver him from every evil work. Don't you see his heart in this? He knows he's going to the heavenly kingdom all because of the Lord and his promises. Therefore, he speaks and he breaks out into praise and adoration for his Savior. It's almost like he just couldn't stand it. Look at verse number 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And it's like he says, wait a minute, let me say this. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's like he can't just stand it anymore. Paul is mentioning right here, he's saying, I've been delivered from death in verse number 17, but I'm going to be delivered by death in verse number 18. In all of this, we see that our Lord is always faithful to his children. He has promised his children he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has promised his children a home in heaven when this life is no more. I'm glad that what Paul had to lean on, I have to lean on tonight. I'm telling you, just like Paul knew that God would never leave him or forsake him, Hebrews 13:5, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad that just like Paul had the promise that God would stand with him and the Lord would never forsake him, he's promised he'll never forsake us either. I'm glad tonight that just like Paul knew he had a heavenly home, you and I can know that we also have a heavenly home. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18 says this, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up to together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Revelation 21, 1 to 6. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give life unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm glad that just like Paul knew he was going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven, and you can too. I'm telling you that God is always faithful to his word. He is a faithful God tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy 2:13, If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Hebrews 10:23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Revelation 19:11, And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. I was typing this out last night, and there was a song that came to my mind. I began to sing this to the tune of He's Able. And it fits. It really does. And it goes like this. He's faithful. He's faithful. I know he is faithful. I know my Lord is faithful to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and he set the captive free. He made the lame to walk again and he caused the blind to see. He's faithful, he's faithful. I know he is faithful. I know my Lord is faithful to carry me through. Some of you are not going to be able to get that out of your mind tonight. You know that? I'm glad tonight that God is faithful, aren't you? Paul is saying, everybody forsook me. At my first answer, can't you just see him maybe looking around? Is somebody going to step up in my defense? Nobody stood up. They all turned their back on him. But he said, I want everybody to know something. When I knew that everybody turned their back on me, there was one still standing there. It was the Lord. He strengthened me. He gave me power. And because of this, the Gentiles were going to hear. That's pretty good right there, folks. Then there's a third thing here about Paul's last message. Not only the list of people and the Lord's faithfulness, but we notice the last words. Notice verse number 22 of our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4. The last words of Paul. He's talking to Timothy and he said, The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. In these last words that the Apostle Paul will ever write, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, we can all learn some great truths. He simply made the statement, The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, Timothy. Grace be with you. Amen. You know, in these closing words, we can learn two valuable lessons. Now, after this, I'm going to give you some points of application throughout this lesson here. But let me give you two thoughts to consider under his last words. Number one, he pointed Timothy to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted Timothy to know something. He wanted him to know that even though he was going to be gone, see, he wanted Timothy to know, I'm dying. You can read it in the same chapter, verse number 6, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. He's letting Timothy know my time's nearing an end. But he ends the book by saying something. He doesn't say, farewell, farewell, I'm going home. He doesn't say that. He says, Timothy, the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. I don't know what you see, but I know what I see. He's saying, Timothy, I'm going to be gone. But Jesus is still going to be there with you, boy. He's going to be there with you. And in this we see that we should constantly, now get this, folks, we should constantly point others to Jesus. In a world where people try to point others to themselves, look at me, look at him, look at her, look at that one, look at this one. Well, I'm not as bad as he is. I'm not as good as she is. Get he and she off your mind. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul is pointing this young preacher to the Lord. He's pointing him to a higher call, a higher motive. He's not saying, weep for me. He's saying, no, the Lord is going to be there with you. Second thing we can learn from this is that notice his prayer. We see him asking for grace, not riches, not favor of man, and not honor. He wanted the favor of God to be upon this preacher, Timothy. You know, in the same way, we should be more concerned about God's favor than man's. We should be more concerned about God's favor than riches. We should be more concerned with God's favor and God's grace than honor. Let me ask you a question. I want you to think of somebody who's very dear to your heart right now. I'm talking somebody who may be here, or maybe they're in your family. I'm talking about somebody who's very dear to your heart. Timothy was very dear to Paul's heart, very dear to him. He loved him. He was his son in the faith. He had poured his life out into him. And it's interesting that the last thing he mentions for Timothy, he didn't say, boy, I hope you have good health. Amen. He didn't say, I hope they give you a big paycheck. Amen. I hope everybody knows your name. Amen. No, he says, here's my request. Grace be with you. Amen. He was more interested in Timothy being borne along by the grace of God than anything else in this life. It kind of has a sense of sadness to it, doesn't it? Here this great preacher is, and what a way to leave this world. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, we could come to a close there, but I don't want to be that good to you. I want to go back, and I want to review this closing sermon with you, verses 9 to 22, and I want to bring out some points of application. Now, we've already been applying several things, but I want to apply some other things here. Let me give you some of these application thoughts here. These are just like tag-ons, if you will. This is not homiletically correct, brother, okay, so just forgive me. But these are extra thoughts, if you will, about this chapter and this last message. Thoughts I didn't bring out under the three main points. These are extra thoughts that I thought were worthy enough to bring out for you to learn some things and for me to learn some things. I couldn't bypass them. Application point number one. Uncertainty of life should intensify our interest and earnestness in God's work. Let me say it again. Uncertainty of life should intensify our interest and earnestness in the work of God. What I mean by that is this. If you'll study this out, you'll see that he sent one person from him. You'll see he's saying, bring the books and the parchments. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I know I'm getting ready to die, but I've got more studying to do. I've got more writing to do. And I'm still sending the message abroad. Now in this, what we see is that during this prison stay that would end in Paul's martyrdom, we see him not sitting and waiting around on the death angel. He's actively involved in the work of God. He wanted the gospel to be spread. He knows the work must go on, and he calls for the books and parchments, which means he had every intention to keep studying and working until Jesus Christ took his last breath from him. There are some people who understand that they're dying. By the way, folks, we're all dying tonight. Whether you realize it or not, you're dying. We are approaching the death angel. Unless the Lord calls us home, which would be fine with me. I'd like to cheat the death angel. How about you? It wouldn't bother me if he came right now. I'll be honest with you. I'm ready to go home. I'm getting sick of this place. I want to see Jesus. And I know I'm dying. But Paul had a step further. He knew that he was just moments away. So what did he do? Was he sitting over in the self-pity party? Oh, help me. No. You know what he was doing? Give me the books. Give me the parchments. Hey, I've already sent him away. I want to get the gospel over here, over there, and over there. I'm not done working until God calls me home. There's a great lesson here. Uncertainty of life should cause our intensity for God's work to increase. Because you don't know how long you have left, do something now is what I'm trying to say. Number two, in verse number 14, this is a great lesson. We need to learn to commit our enemies to the Lord. Commit your enemies unto the Lord. Look at verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I'm going to get even with him. Is that what it says? No. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him. The Lord reward him. You know, in this, Paul made it known that Alexander was not on the right side. He was working evil. However, notice how he simply said, the Lord reward him according to his works. You know what this shows us? This shows us that Paul did not take vengeance in his own hands, but he committed this wicked man unto the Lord for him to do with as he sees fit. You know, we'd do well to learn this same lesson. In your flesh, what do you want to do when somebody crosses you? In your flesh, if somebody's ungodly and wicked and does you wrong, your flesh says, get them back. They deserve it. But the Spirit of Christ is Psalm 94:1, O Lord God, to whom belongeth vengeance. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. The Bible says in Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him that he has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, talking about the Lord, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Your flesh says, get even. Your spirit says, let God take care of it. Have you learned that lesson? Have I learned that lesson? Number three, I know I'm giving you a lot of information tonight. I know that. I'm pumping you full of stuff. I understand. But I'm praying that one thing will grab your heart and you can't get away from it. Number three, pray for those who forsake you. Pray for those who forsake you. In verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Those who forsook Paul at his first answer was prayed for by Paul. That's convicting. In other words, Paul had no hint of bitterness or anger towards these people. He simply prayed that it would not be laid to their charge. You know, again, when the flesh cries out, get even, get even, get even, get even. They've got, well, I mean, whatever comes to them, they deserve it. The Spirit of Christ is, pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Pray for those who forsake you. Let me give you another thought here. I'm on my last third of a page there. There it is. See it? Right there it is. Part of that's my invitation. So we're about done. Number four. I don't think there's any other fitting way to end this book as we come to the end of this book. Determined to finish right. Determined to finish right. In the list of people we've discussed, we considered Demas, who ended wrong. However, we see that Paul was one who not only started right, he finished right. You know, we should all determine to be able to say what he said in chapter 4, verse 7, I finished my course. Let us finish full speed across the finish line into the arms of the Savior. You know, this last message of Paul has so many practical helps, it's ridiculous. I mean, really, it does. We could go back and re-preach this for a month and get something new out of it. But I just wonder tonight, what is the Lord saying to you? You know what a great service is? A great service is when God speaks to you. When He speaks to you. And do you understand this thought, folks? God wants to speak to every one of us. He wants to speak to you. What's He saying? What's He telling you? You know, the Christian life has been simplified. You know what it is? Find out what God says and obey. You live your life that way, you're going to be just fine. You disobey, you got problems. Tonight, I'm not going to go back to the list because I've emphasized that for two whole sermons. Tonight, I want to focus on the Lord's faithfulness and the last words and these thoughts that we brought out in application. I wonder tonight, as we're bowing our heads and closing our eyes, I wonder tonight, what is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you? Brother Gary, I'm going to do something a little bit different, if you don't mind. I want these girls to come and sing that last song that they were singing on Stand Still and Let God Move. I hope you're prepared to do that. If you'd like to stand up here, or you can stand down there. Just around the piano would be fine, whatever the case may be. I don't even think they need a microphone, to be honest with you. Just stand somewhere. It doesn't matter to me. But tonight, as we're thinking about all of this, in just a moment, they're going to begin to play Wait on Me, just a moment. But I wonder, as we're preparing for this, is God dealing with you about His faithfulness in your life? Maybe men have forsaken you. Maybe men have turned their back on you. And God is reminding you, hey, I know that people have turned their back on you, but I'm still here. She can begin to just play through softly just a moment there, if she wouldn't mind to do that. In just a moment, these girls will sing on my cue, but if the one who's playing the piano would just begin to play there just a moment. Or maybe tonight God is speaking to you about your home in heaven that He's promised you. Maybe He's speaking to you about His faithfulness and you just need to trust Him. Maybe you need to stand still and let God move. Or maybe tonight God's speaking to you about pointing people to Christ and not to yourself. Or maybe He's speaking to you about being more interested in God's grace than riches and honor, the knowledge of man. Or maybe God's speaking to you about the uncertainty of your life and how you need to turn it up a notch and do something for God. Maybe you have some enemies that you need to commit to the Lord. Maybe there's somebody who's done you wrong and you need to just come pray for him. Or maybe God's speaking to you about finishing right. Maybe you've made a huge mistake in your life, or maybe you're going faithful now, but God's speaking to you saying, hey, finish right. Finish strong. Whatever God's dealing with you about, say yes to Him and be obedient. If the Lord wants you to come forward, that's what you ought to do. If He doesn't, I wouldn't. But if He does, I would. Let's do business with God, shall we? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless it. Bless this song. Bless these girls as they sing. And help our folks to respond and come and do business with God. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The girls are singing. If God's dealing with you, leave your place. Come. Come now. Father, help.
Come on.
Though it's hard to see it now.
There's time for you. It is. Let God move. Oh, think about it. Maybe you need to come and ask God to help you stand still. Wait on Him. Stand still. Let God move. They're singing it. I hope you're doing business with God even at your seat.
When the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, and the tide is swiftly rising, and you wonder where He's been. Friend, there never was a moment that His arms were reaching out. You can rest assured.
Do business with God. Talk to Him.
God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move.
She's playing through softly. I'd like you to stand this way. She's still playing. We're just about done. My wife and I are carrying burdens. Some of them are yours. Some of you are sick. Some of you have great burdens that you're carrying. And only you and God know about it. Can I say something to you? That's enough. We're here for you. We'll help you any way we can. Preacher, I never understood till I began to pastor what a pastor carries. You carried it for 46 years. Can I give you a word of advice? Stand still. Let God move. And when He moves, it'll be enough. It'll be enough. Amen. You know, we were going to have a business meeting tonight. I want to follow the Lord. I'm not going to have one. We may have it Wednesday night, next Sunday, but not tonight. I just feel the Lord trying to drive this home. Stand still. Let God move. But standing still, that's hard to do. We need to learn this, don't we? Stand still. Let God move. And if He moves, you'll know it. It's been a precious service tonight. It really has. I love it when the Lord shows up. And I believe He's been here tonight. He's ministering to our hearts, isn't He? I appreciate you girls. God bless you. Appreciate you brothers coming up and meeting with us and taking time to come be with us. It's our privilege. I appreciate that. Amen. You know, there's some times when you just don't want to leave, and this is one of them. I don't want to leave. I know we got to leave, but I just don't want to leave. I just feel the Lord doing something. You know what I mean? I just feel Him moving. I want these girls to sing the last verse again. Maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe you need to come. Maybe the Lord's leading me to open this invitation, keep it going. Maybe you're the reason why. Maybe you're the one. What is it? As they sing, God dealing with you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Maybe God's speaking to you. Step out, come, as they sing. Come on. Come on. As they sing this last verse, you come. Come on. Talk to the Lord about it. Talk to God about it. Maybe you're the one. There's one. Somebody else. You say, this is me. God's moving in my heart. God's moving in me. God's working in me. Maybe there's time. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's others. People coming. Come on. Let's talk to God about it. If you want to sing with them, sing with them. And let God move. Standing still is hard to do. God is moving. We want to let Him move. The way for you, stand still and let God move. Think about it. Think about it. Standing still is hard to do. Make a way for you. Stand still. God move. There's time for you. There's time for you. Playing through, people are praying. I want to give them time. It's been a precious time together, hasn't it? Don't you just get the sense that I know we're going over. Just relax. But here's the thing: I feel like we've just all gathered around the dinner table. We've had a feast tonight. God's taking it and giving us a little bit of dessert with it. He's moving. I like it when He moves, don't you? Amen. Boy, we love you. Amen. Wonderful. Boy, it's been good. It's good to be saved, isn't it? You're going to heaven someday. You got a lot to be joyful about, folks. It's all going to be worth it when we see Jesus. Amen. Wonderful. I'm going to ask this group if they wouldn't mind to make their way out in the lobby. And I felt privileged to sing with you a little bit there. You know, that was good. And I'm going to have them go out. They've got some music out there. Please take some of their brochures and all these things. You let them know that we appreciate them being here. God used them in our midst. No doubt about it. Let me remind the teenagers and the parents who are going on the mission trip. If you don't mind, you can go ahead and be dismissed to go downstairs if you'll make your way down there. Please be back in your place on Wednesday night. Prayer meeting at 6:00.
7:30 and service at 7. I encourage you with this. Try to bring somebody with you, okay? Try to bring somebody with you. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Jamie Pendleton, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us and dismiss us, sir, please. Thank you.